Welcome back to the podcast that cheers for the only team in the MLS to have yet to concede a single goal this season. Tony, what's going on with us, man?
I don't know, but we're playing good.
We're
it's making
kicking.
Up for a lot, man. It's crazy.
Wow, three episodes in is already better than any three episodes of TFC content we had all last season.
I don't think we've ever had three good episodes in a row about TFC.
Oh, man, it's about time. It's about time. And, guys, we're going to get into that at the later parts of the show like we always do. We're going to start with some Champions League because we still got European soccer going on, and we had a big, big Champions League week to talk about. Two banger games 2 days in a row, the Arsenal-Porto game and then the Atletico-Inter game, which we both said would be the game of this second legs, the Atletico-Inter game, and it did not let anyone down by any means. If you're not a fan of either team and you just watched for pure joy, I mean, the Depay goal right at the end to send it to extra times and then the penalty kicks, just insane. I think the right team won. But it was tight, man. That was two perfectly evenly matched teams where one just made a mistake in the penalty kicks, and that was it. What do you think?
I think Inter screwed up. I mean, there was a lot of opportunities near the end of the game where they were one-on-one with Oblak, and they messed it up. Inter, they had their chances and just couldn't capitalize. So, to me, I think Atletico deserved it. They didn't have many chances throughout the game, and it made the majority of them count. So, and then even the penalties, I mean, just horrible penalties missed for Inter on their side. I mean, you sub in.
Yeah.
I mean, two of the people that missed were subs that came in for penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, that's be the worst. I never agreed with that. I always felt get fresh guys, keep guys in that are there. I mean, even Lautaro Martinez, you know, just horrible effort. But, you know, all kudos to Atletico Madrid, as much as I don't like that team. You know, they were the better team and they deserve it, so.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we don't have to really get into the Dortmund PSV. We all saw the Dortmund win coming a mile away yesterday. Well, sorry, I know it's Thursday. We recorded this on a Wednesday. So the first round of second leg matches of this week, Arsenal-Porto. I mean, listen, Arsenal won the game 1-0, then they went to penalties, and they won in penalties. I think Porto put up a fantastic fight. I think a lot of players on Porto really stepped up to the challenge. I think they were the better team over this two-leg match, and they just got unlucky in penalties. I'm still crazily impressed that Pepe is still able to hold up as well as he has when he's, 41 now, we were saying?
He's, like, the same age. He's the same age as Arteta.
Which is insane.
That's crazy, yeah.
Right? One's coach in Champions League, the other's arguably the best player on the pitch in that two-leg series. So... Yeah. It sucks that they lost, especially to Arsenal, but kudos.
I mean, Porto had a chance, and they held it for so long, and, I mean, losing on penalties is nothing to really hold your head off in that sense, right? So,
no, I agree. It's a shitty loss, but a loss nonetheless. My team's out. Tony, your team's out. Barca kind of put the boots to the throat to Napoli as well. Yeah. What are your kind of thoughts on that game?
Just story of the season, you know, fell asleep for a couple of minutes and Barca put two quick ones behind us. Napoli played good. I mean, they had chances to tie it up at 2-2. Ter Stegen played very well. But at the end of the day, I'm not too surprised. I had a little bit of hope, but I mean, the way the season goes, I think the less games these guys play heading into the end of the year is better. They need to qualify for Europe next year. They can't afford not to even, I mean, they're still in striking distance of Champions League, so they have to keep going. The only thing I find crazy about this, so you know how they have the Club World Cup this summer, right?
Yep.
Somehow Napoli losing qualified Juventus in right away, which is whatever. I get Juve's been good over the years, but Juve last year were kicked out of European soccer because of problems with money and stuff like that. How they were able to get into the Club World Cup so quickly, like literally, if you saw it, the Barca Napoli game ended and FIFA post Juventus who qualified.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. But you know what? I mean, the way Napoli's played this year, they don't really deserve to be in a tournament of that prestige at the moment.
No, they don't.
And, it's just a story, the continuation of how this year has just been going for them. So.
Yeah, and I mean, really looking at this round of 16, I think when we looked at the games and we kind of made a prediction of who's going to be going through, even though some of the games, there was some drama. Bayern lost the first leg. everything else, the penalty kicks in Porto are. So we pretty much called all of them. I know the exception being you were kind of hoping Napoli could push through Barca. And then I think Atletico and Inter, we were kind of saying that's kind of a 50-50 toss-up, which it very much proved to be. So, I mean, no crazy action in the round of 16. Hopefully the next round we're going to see some big, heavy-hitting matchups. I would love to see a Bayern, Real Madrid, or like a – I'd give anything for an Arsenal PSG because that way one of those teams gets eliminated.
Yeah. I'd love to see Arsenal, Bayern, and Bayern just drop 10 past them in two games again. Like, do it for the culture, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. No, I understand that. It's always a nice thing to see, but Yeah, listen, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's some big matches this past week in England, Man City, Liverpool. There was a lot of good stuff going on, and I just can't find myself wanting to talk about it because we got so much stuff to talk about here at home.
Just a quick one. Crazy performance from Bournemouth against Luton today.
But nobody gives a fuck.
Who cares? Down 3-0 to come back to win 4 goals in the second half?
Yeah, against Luton, though. Who the fuck cares? Yeah, call me when it's
something special.
Exactly. So who the hell cares is what I'm saying.
They still did it.
Ooh, and now Bournemouth with that win goes up into 13th. Crazy. They came back against a team that's going to get relegated.
Real fans know that's an accomplishment and a half to do that.
The accomplishment is the fact that you were hosting at home to a relegation side and you went down 3-0 early. They should be praising them for coming back. They should be going, what the fuck was wrong with you guys to let Luton go up 3-0 early? That's the issue. Not this whole, they came back in the second half. There should never have been a comeback in the second half needed in that scenario.
I disagree with that one. I still think it's pretty sick.
Well, of course it's exciting, but it's a scenario that should have never occurred in the first place. Honestly, man, it's been very hard for me to focus Europe lately now that TFC is doing good. Last year, you know, when TFC was shit, it's like, okay, you know what? At least you can look forward to watching a must soccer on Saturday, Sunday. You get your Man U, Madrid, Porto, even Wolves for a little bit. You're going to get some games that you're going to enjoy. Whereas now I'm fucking enjoying every single TFC game for the first start of the season. It's intriguing me again where I'm kind of, you know, gravitating back to that. So it's been a little weird for me this year so far because I don't know what it is about the EPL this year. Maybe it's because Man U fucking sucks and all this stuff, but it's been a struggle for me.
I saw a post actually today where a Man U fan was like, guys, we're still in this. If we win the last 10 games of the year and anyone drops points, we win the league. If it even happened, it would be crazy. But Jesus, to go into depth to find a way that you guys still have a chance is crazy.
Yeah,
that's some dedication.
Nutty. But yeah, like I was saying, you know, we can even get over here and start talking Canada now because, you know, we got a big match coming up against Trinidad to see who goes to the Copa America. So, I mean, the team just got announced, and there's quite a few changes that we're not used to seeing.
Very young squad. Osorio, the oldest player on the team.
Right?
So, he's, I think that's something we've said over the past year since the World Cup. Nothing against, Milan Boyan and Steven Vitoria and Junior Horlett, but at the end of the day, they were just not – it was time to move on. From those guys, they got their chance. It is what it is, and I think this is a chance to give the younger guys a chance to keep going, right? So, younger guys like Maxime Crépeau and St. Clair, how good they've been playing. Even Jonathan Sirios for CF Montreal as well, playing fantastic.
EK Ugbo's got like 6 goals in 10 games in the second division, England right now.
Theo Blair too with Scotland.
Yeah, so I mean, Jacob Schaffelberg too, like.
Mm-hmm. He's probably one of our best midfielders right now.
Right? So it's an exciting squad. I think this team is miles ahead of Trinidad's squad. If they don't win this game, it's insane.
Yeah, it's a big disappointment if they can't pull that off.
Right?
I mean, it's crazy if they don't.
They have to. I don't see any world in which they don't win this game. If they it's a joke if they don't.
Yeah. I mean, even with, like, the injuries, I mean, I know Alphonso Davies hasn't been fully fit over the last few months, but, I mean, you got guys like like you said, Schaffelberg's been playing unreal. Liam Millar, how many times I've seen posts from him scoring in the championship.
I Jonathan mean, David has the most goals in the top five leagues in this year.
Ismail Kone playing fantastic for Watford. Like, there's a lot of players on this list that are playing really, really well right now. And I hope Mauro Biello takes advantage of that, because Trinidad is not going to be like your typical, you know, tough team to play. They're going to be physical, very much like these lower division teams in like championship and stuff like that. Like, these are the players that they're not making millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars. Sorry. They're making much less than everybody else. So
yeah, but you know what? There's one big omission on this team, and it's not due to accolades. It's due to injury. And that's Richie Larea.
Yeah.
That is a big loss. And yep. I don't see Adekugbe there either. Now, I don't know what's going on there. No. Maybe he's just not fit enough to make the team. But I'm assuming you're starting Alistair Johnson on a flank with Alphonso Davies on the other if he's healthy to go. Or yeah. Who else is playing that role?
I would think so. I mean, I think that's your wing. So you do have Osorio, Piet, and Eustáquio in the middle with Kone, right? So, and right now, midfield-wise, those four guys, the way they're playing, right now, Eustáquio just because he's coming off the bench at Porto. Lately, it's not the best, but Kone and Piet and Osorio have been playing really well. So it's going to be interesting how they line up. I mean, Osorio hasn't been doing too bad in the history as being a winger as well. So, you know, offensively, he could help. So it is going to be interesting.
You know, I'll never vouch for Piet being in the lineup.
He is playing good right now.
So. I don't care. I will never want to see him in
I think Eustáquio starts over him. I think your midfield is Eustáquio, Kone, and Osorio.
I agree.
I think Osorio, I mean, he's your captain of this team right now, right? And yeah. The way he's been playing as captain of TFC has been phenomenal these last 3 weeks. So you keep your hot hands playing, right? So.
Yeah, and we're going to, guys, get more into this game and what's going to go down next week, because the game is, of course, not this Saturday, but the following. The one exciting news, though, is Canada's new jerseys will be announced, I believe it's Monday, the 18th or the 16th. I can't remember which day it was, either the 16th or the 18th. We finally are going to get a new Canada kit. We'll be able to see it. Hopefully, they're wearing it next week. I would assume if they're announcing it now, they're going to be wearing it the following week. So that'll be an exciting thing to see, too. I mean, hopefully they don't. They don't screw it up. It's pretty hard, but I've seen some bad ones.
Will it still be Nike, or will it be switching over to somebody else? Did they say that?
I have no idea. I guess we'll see on the 18th. I didn't hear anything about them going somewhere else, so I'm not too sure. But
yeah, well, I just because I saw
an old school Adidas one would be unreal.
That's the picture I saw, was the old school Adidas with Cab on the front.
Well, it only works if Adidas has the sponsorship, right?
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yep. Yeah, we will. But yeah, that's Canada. Well, like I said, we'll get into that game more next week. Let's get into some top bins, trash bins for now before we get into TFC. Because you know we have a lot to say there.
Yeah. So top bins, trash bins is a little different. I feel like we already know the answers are. But these are kind of the most interesting and most crazy things I saw throughout the week. So starting it off, obviously, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, you know that the creator of it, Akira Toriyama, passed away last week. And obviously throughout all of the football world, there was amazing tributes for him. But the biggest one is that the cartels in Mexico actually had a ceasefire in honor of him. Trashman's the influence he had.
Oh, the influence he had is unmeasurable to anything, man. I mean, I can't speak for myself, too. That's probably the best. Or one of my favorite shows of all time growing up as a kid, it was obviously top three of all time for me growing up, both Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, not so much. I mean, I can go into hours on all the stuff there, but it was a very sad moment, but the reach that he has extends so far. I mean, I'm pretty sure every single kid, mostly boys, but maybe some girls too, tried going Super Saiyan once in their life. So yeah, it's a big loss, and the world's gonna miss him. But seeing that influence, it tells me, fuck, let's release some new Dragon Ball Super episodes or something. Maybe we'll get these gangs to stop fighting for one hour every Saturday.
I don't know, because you know, if they put something bad out there, it's gonna cause more problems. But yeah, that was crazy to see that nothing stopped those guys from stopping, and with the death of a very influential man. Did that, so All right. So for the second one, going a little bit now, we're going to Africa for this one. So
it's time for Africa.
So there are rumors. So this is a bit of a longer one. Cause I have to explain what's going on, but not rumors, but 62 players of the Cameroon Federation are under investigation for age fraud. But that's
for what?
Age fraud. So lying about their age.
I thought you said AIDS fraud.
No, age. No, they're not lying about age. They're lying about their age. So 62 players. So as I looked into it to see if there's anyone interesting, I didn't find anyone very interesting on it. But there was one story that made me laugh. It was not even a Cameroonian player. It's a player from Gabon named Goulart Kanga Kaku. And he's under investigation for simply saying that his mother passed away in 1986. Well, he's listed as being born in 1990. Top and trash me for not knowing your fake age.
I don't get it, man. I mean, I've been seeing a few of that. Like that young kid from Barca is going through that right now, too. Yeah. Lamine, what's his name? Yamal or something like that?
Yamal, who played really well against Napoli. I'll admit that.
Yeah, Yamal. They're saying there's no way he's only 16. They're saying he's got to be at least 20. Yeah, it's I don't get what's going on here. I mean, I understand the purpose of lying about your age. If you get too old, it's a lot easier to be seen as younger. But yeah, it's trash bins, man. You can't be lying about your age.
And the final one, we're going out into the Europa League. Last week, Roma played Brighton. And, Roma showed up, Brighton didn't. And it was a 4-0 thrashing. But the thrashing was off the field as well, as Roma ultras laid out a banner saying, "The Queen gave blowjobs." Top is trash bins.
What am I reading here?
That kind of banter in England.
I mean, anyone knows me knows I'm not the biggest fan of that whole setup out there that England has. So I mean, good fuck them. She did. She definitely, or she at least had someone do it for her. You know what I mean? She's like, to the king. You know what? You want that here? Where's that peasant boy? Come in here and give it to you, or something like that. But yeah, it's either way. That's pretty funny. I don't care. I think that's hilarious.
I find it funny too. So yeah, that's this week's top ends trash.
Okay, I got one for you.
What's up?
So now I don't know if this is true, but this is on an Instagram account. You know, sometimes they have quotes on there. Some quotes you got to take with a grain of salt because you're not sure. But this is from a pretty credible Instagram account that I follow that follows Footy. They have a quote from Jose Mourinho talking about Jamie Carragher. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, "Jamie Carragher talks too much for someone who isn't even among the top 1,000 defenders in football history. How can someone who never won the Premier League talk about what it takes to win the Premier League?" Top bins, trash bins on that quote.
Top is on the second half, if that makes sense. But to say not one of the top 1,000 defenders is tough.
I agree. I mean, it's true. It's hyperbole for sure.
Yeah.
But he was never in the conversations as one of the best defenders when he was playing.
I don't think he was ever one of the top conversations of the top defenders in Liverpool. Even the heyday, Daniel Edgar was a Danish guy that was playing with him. And what was the other guy's name? I played beside him, but he's like Jamie Carragher. I know him more as a pundit than as a player, to be honest with you.
100%. I mean, he's got one PFA team of the year, and he was Liverpool player of the season twice. Other than that, he hasn't done fucking shit. Like, I don't know. It's when you see how many defenders there are in of all time. I don't think top 1,000 is unreasonable.
It's tough to think. Is like naming 1,000 players.
Well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like,
that would
if he
be
had
tough.
Said if he had said like 200, then fuck yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, he's obviously being
250.
He's obviously being hyperbolic to be like, you know what, this guy,
the way
he is, like, is that. I never agree with the whole, because you never did this, you can't talk about it. Because it's like if I go to a restaurant and I say the food's shit, the chef's going to go, well, fuck, you cook it then. And obviously I'm not going to be able to do as good as a job. So I have no room to tell you that it tastes like shit. I know what food tastes like. I know you didn't cook this shit well. Yeah. Same with soccer. I can watch a soccer player and say, you're fucking shit. And then they go, oh, yeah, you don't know how to play that. No, you're fucking right, I don't. But I know your shit too. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't agree with the second part of his thing where he says, so the opposite to you, how he says, how can someone who never won the Premier League talk about what it takes to win the Premier League? I think anyone can talk about it. I can tell you now what it takes to win the Premier League. Easy. Oil money. Boom. You're winning the Premier League.
He could have won in a time when there was no oil money.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, people can talk about it. But again, when he says he's not even among the top, that's a great burn, because it's just like, go fuck yourself, buddy. You're not even, you talk about your skills, but you're not even in the top 1,000 of all time at your position.
So I saw another one too about Mourinho, and it's like, what's the biggest what if in history? And it's like, it said if Jose Mourinho spoke.
What?
Because you know how he has that line, I can't speak. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I speak, I'll get into trouble.
Yeah. So it's like, what if Jose Mourinho spoke? Which I'm enjoying that he's saying a lot more things lately. He's doing it now, so.
Yeah, he seems to be having a good time. Yeah. So, you know, it's good for him. I could see him still getting a job next year if he wanted one.
With all the teams with coaches resigning, it's crazy. So
yeah, there's going to be a lot of openings for him. Whether he takes one or not, who knows? I'd still like to see him coach. I think he still has something to give back to people. So okay. I'd like to see it. But yeah, no, it's good to see him doing this. And, you know, it's good to see him having fun. And it's good to see us having fun. And we're having fun again, because Toronto FC is fun again. This past week, home opener down at BMO. Toronto wins 1-0. I think we both got that point, don't we? We both picked win. Neither of us got the score correct. Yeah. We both picked the victory.
I did. I was really hoping for that second late goal, because I got the one late goal. I did say two late goals.
Yeah, you did say two late. There's only one. And I was thinking that we had finally let in a goal, but we still have yet to concede a goal this season. Extremely impressive, considering we faced Cincinnati, who last year won the Supporter Shield. We faced New England, who was another top team last year. They finished fifth. Charlotte was a bubble playoff team last year. They made the play-in. So again, three decent teams. And Charlotte this year was tied with us in the standings, tied for a second. And again, we ran through them. Now, it's not all rainbows and butterflies and whatnot. This is a team that's struggling to score goals. When you think about it, every game realistically could have easily been 0-0 if it wasn't for two strokes of brilliance by Insignia, one in the New England game, one in the Charlotte game. It wasn't like two common goals. We're having a tough time creating chances and putting them away. Now, is that just new coach beginning of the season getting the rust out, or is it deeper signs of deeper problems? What do you think?
I think it comes down just to the strikers. I think right now, Herdman went out on a limb, not a limb, but did something different last week in putting Osorio kind of in that number nine.
Yeah, like a false nine almost.
Yeah, and it wasn't making enough space for Insignia and Bernardeschi out there. So I don't think it's a deep lying problem, but I think it's something where you know what's going to push you over the edge. You know what's going to get you to that next level is to find who can fit in that middle spot. Because everywhere else, the lineup is playing phenomenal. The connection, the way the guys play. I mean, I gave Kobe Franklin a pretty good compliment because of the tackle he made and how he wasn't so horrible on defense the last game. So Herdman has the guys playing, but I do have to agree that you cannot continue the season like this, because eventually Insignia and Bernardeschi are going to have their off days and they're not going to be there. Yeah. So you need to have someone in that middle to open the space for them. So,
yeah, you have to. You could see the difference it made when they brought in Prince Owusu and Matty Longs. Oh, what's it, Longstaff?
Matty Longstaff, that's wrong. Yeah.
That's the name.
Yeah, Matty Longstaff.
Yeah, when they both came on, the game shifted completely, and that eventually we got our goal through there. But this is not sustainable. They need to start being able to figure out how to get easier goals. But again, we won, so I can't complain. Let's take the wins and take the points how we can get them. After three games, we're sitting atop the table right now. Again, we're tied with, I think, six other teams. There's a lot of teams with 7 points, 2 in the West, 5 in the East. Something that's been pissing me off is the MLS released their power rankings. They have Columbus in first, which, okay, fine. Miami in second after they lost to Montreal.
Okay.
Montreal didn't even make the top 10. They're currently in second, and they just beat Inter Miami. Again, I don't care that much, because fuck Montreal every single day of the week, twice on Sundays. Yeah. Toronto's not even in the top 10.
That's crazy.
We're tied for first. We have not conceded a goal. You know who's in 10th? Second last place Seattle Sounders, who have one draw, one loss on the season. That's and one point. They're in 10th. LAFC, who have 4 points on the season, are in 8th. Cincinnati, a team that we beat week one, is in 5th. Like, you know what? And again, I said it last week. I'm glad we're flying under the radar. We don't need that attention right now. But put some fucking respect on TFC.
I mean, it's good for us, but it's just, it's stupid to see. Yeah. Because this is not TFC of last year.
No.
You know, this is, yes, not 80% of the squad is the same, but if you've been watching, if you're a true fan of the sport, you've been watching these games and seeing highlights, you can see that this is nothing like what we had last year.
100%.
I mean, defensively solid. I mean, so even with when Long went out in halftime, Rostead came in solid. Like, one of the biggest things last year was our subs would come in and make it even worse. You know, like, now you have this, you have depth in the squad, and it's looking good. And Herbin hasn't playing well, and to have him not even as a top 10 team after going three straight clean sheets is insane.
It is insane, man. I don't like it at all. It pisses me off seeing it, but I'm okay with flying under the radar for a little bit longer. But if we win this weekend in New York, who they've lost three straight games.
And somehow the favorites for the game too. Oh, still.
Don't get me started on that. We'll get into that. When we're looking at that game, we'll get into that. But yeah, if we win this game, we better be in that top 10 is all I got to say. Yeah. Or else I'll be making a few aggressive, suggestive tweets over to the MLS social media team.
Well, that's what happens to a person like, you know, Caitlin Kyle and what's the other guy? Wright Phillips there being as your commentators, you know, like those are your analysis team. That, yeah, I can see why TFC is not going to make top 10.
Caitlin Kyle's Canadian. How do you figure out?
She's American washed, man. She's got the American money in her. Oh, she's not, she doesn't care.
You kill me, man. But hey, what did you think of Matty Longstaff in his debut?
I was praying that shot would have went in, man.
Oh, that would have been
he
nice.
He hit that so hard. I think he did well. I mean, all things considered, he came in for Coelho, who was playing pretty well that game, so.
And that's going to be his spot. If he wants to earn a starting lineup, he's going to have to beat out Coelho for that role.
Exactly. And I think Longstaff did a good thing because even though I really only remember the shot, he did get an assist on the Insignia goal. But as a midfielder, if you don't notice them very much, then that means defensively they're doing very well.
Yes.
So that's all we need. That's something that we need. And I like it. For a debut to come in a situation where we're still tied, we weren't up yet, and then just doing well like that, I think he'll do well. Hopefully he can stay healthy because, I mean, I think he can beat out Coelho, but Coelho's fitting perfectly with Osorio and Flores. And Herdman, you know, doesn't always change things just because he has to change them, right? So
I know, but I don't know why, man. I have a good feeling about this kid.
I hope so. I mean,
I don't know what it is, but I have a really good feeling about him. I think he could be special.
I hope so. That'd be great for him and great for TSC because, you know, it would be, I mean, those kind of players coming from lower divisions do well. I mean, look at Long, right? Like, he's been fantastic for us. Hopefully he's not injured for this weekend.
Yeah.
So, but it's, I hope the best for him too, because, I mean, he's going to give us now four solid center midfielders. And when Cervinha comes back, there's your fifth guy. Like, that's another guy that's going to be coming off the bench fighting for a spot. So.
Yeah, well, and there's one less guy after today as TFC announced the trade of Latif Blessing to Houston Dynamo. So that midfield's looking there. I don't know, man. If I think Coelho coming off the bench and as depth piece and Longstaff starting, it might be what I want to see later on in the season. Right now, I'm cool if they still stick with the Coelho to start and have Longstaff.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing good. There's no reason to change it right now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, I agree. And then, yeah, so Cervinha comes back. He was one of our few bright spots last year as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We got a big game this weekend. New York City, again, like I said, they're in last place or tied for last place, I believe. They have not won a game yet this year. They have allowed 5 goals and only scored 1. And somehow they are outright favorites over TFC as of yesterday. I'm going to double check right now on FanDuel. Yeah, but it wasn't just like little favorites. they were insane favorites. Like TFC was almost 4-1 to win that game. And like, do they know something we don't? I know we have no Larea, maybe no Long, but come on.
Like, I have New York at 1.7 and TFC at 4.4 right now.
No, so that's even that's I got them even better. I got TFC at 4.7 on FanDuel.
That's crazy. I mean, even if Sean Johnson's out, I mean, Luca Garvin played fantastic last week. You know.
Yeah, he played very. That's actually something we didn't mention.
Yeah.
Day of, we find out Sean Johnson can't play and Luca Garvin's going in, and we're all taken aback in the stands. And then Garvin puts on a masterclass.
Fantastic, crazy. Like, just saves when he needed it and it just comes out grabbing the crosses. A fantastic job by him.
Yeah. Wow, dude, I'm so tempted right now to hammer a Toronto FC draw, no bet. Bet, because you can get $100 pays out $370 on draw, no bet, meaning if they tie, which to me, this game reeks of Toronto winning, or they'll tie and it'll be like a tough tie. They're not losing this game. So if it draws, it's no bet. If they win, I get $370 back.
That's just something for thought. I mean, that not to convince these odds, but I mean, TFC style, the way the possession play is coming, it's going to be even better on a smaller field.
Yeah.
You know, like, Yankee Stadium is smaller. It's not as wide. So the fluidity of this team is going to be even better because they're going to be so much closer.
Yep.
So it's I don't know where this comes from. I get their last year's result was 3-0. But like I said, this is not TFC of last year. You know, and I would love to see, I mean, to see Insignia pull off Sebastian Jovinko era against New York City. I mean, bring back the horrors of TSC against NYC, right? So,
yeah, it's definitely. I don't understand the odds, but I'm liking our odds going in, even though all the odds are against us from the bookies. I'm thinking we're looking good. I think New York's gonna have a tough time scoring against us. If we can figure out a way to put the ball in the net, it might be ugly for New York come Saturday. Who's starting as our number 9 Saturday, pending Kerr and Larea still out? Who are you starting? Are you putting Prince back into the lineup? Are you going to keep with that Osorio false 9? What are you doing, Tone?
I don't do the Osorio false 9. I think that first half, Osorio seemed out of rhythm. He was playing well, but it wasn't as good as he should be. I would really like to see Tyree Spence, if he's okay. I feel like he deserves a shot. New York is one of the worst teams right now, and it will be a good chance. But I think realistically, you put Prince, because when he came in at the second half, like you said, he did make a big difference. He opened up the space quite a bit, which allowed the goal to happen. So I would go with Prince.
Yeah, you know what? I think Prince has to be in there. I was always, you know, I've been saying Cassius Malula. Mm-hmm. That guy is small.
Yeah, now I know why he's not starting right
now. Yeah, he is tiny.
Yeah, he's not going to – I mean, you never know. I mean, he's not going to make a header. But I'd like to see him as a sub to see how he does well, to see how he opens up the field. Maybe he's a playmaker. But with what TFC needs right now is a big body up there, a big number 9.
Yeah, and that's what Prince gives us. You know what? I mean, that first game was bad, but his past few performances, starting the second game and then coming in at the whatever minute he came in this past Saturday, he's looked good. He tries to create some space. You know, I think it's just going to click for him. He's going to score one goal, and the floodgates are going to open. You know, it does take some time to adjust to the MLS. So I have some high hopes for him. And I hope he gets to start again this Saturday against New York. I think a small field could really benefit him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Tony, let's get back to the game, my friend. Predictions for Saturday.
I'm going 4-1 TFC.
You know
what? I'm going 4-1. I'm going Bernadeschi gets his coming out party today, this week, 2 goals. I give one to Prince, and I'm going to give one. My fourth goal, I'm going to give to Osorio.
I'm
cap it off for us.
I'm saying we're going to keep our streak going of not allowing a goal, and we're going to win 2-0. I going four goals is bold considering we've barely scored one in the past.
Well, you look at the way people have been playing against New York this year. Goals are coming against them.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Two. That's what I'm saying. We'll get two. But yeah, I think we win this game too. We're just playing at a different level right now. People are going to start taking note of us after this weekend. So
wow, New York's schedule gets even worse.
Yeah,
they get Cincinnati and Miami and then Atlanta. So there's potential if we win this game that New York's going even lower.
That's what I'm saying, man. New York's got to be looking and saying, we got a tough time. This is a must-win game for New York City, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is, especially for what's coming.
Maybe this is what the bookies are looking at, and that's why the odds are so shit, but mm-hmm. I'm hammering Toronto to win this game because the odds are just way too good.
Yeah.
Way too good.
Yeah, you got to take them with the way we've been playing. I mean, we're not scoring a lot, but at the same time, these are very convincing results for us, especially the two wins. I think the last bit of that New England game, Sean Johnson won us that game. But even last week against Charlotte, there wasn't very many moments where I thought Charlotte was going to take it from us.
Yeah.
TFC just held their own and just kept pressuring until they got one. So,
yeah, it's looking too good to be true, and I'm hoping that sticks around this weekend. For those watching Eastern Time, 7:30 on Saturday is when Toronto will be taking on New York City. We just announced a new stadium, by the way, so this don't get used to this field. Yeah, exactly. Don't get used to this tiny-ass field that we're going to be playing on, but it should be a good game. I'm super stoked for that. I can't wait. We'll be back here next Thursday talking all about that game and previewing, of course, the next TFC game because we're not stopping for this international break. Which, thank God, we're only losing Osorio, but we're also losing Flores, which we'll get into next week. Is going to be a big loss for us. But we will be previewing the Canada game next week, as well as TFC are back home taking on Atlanta United. So make sure you tune into that next Thursday. And we'll be here, guys, at Spotify, at Apple Music, at FootyLG, on Instagram and TikTok as well. And Tony, I think that's it for us for today. Ethan, we good?
Yeah, I think it's good.
Well, let's fucking go. Well, then we'll see you guys next week right here, back every Thursday like we always are. And come on, you Reds.